How's it going, Orange County? We are back here. A tough result here over the weekend as Orange County falls to Sacramento Republic at home 2-0 on Gnarly's birthday celebration. Tough for Gnarly to celebrate. I think he had fun, though, with all his friends. Hey, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the upcoming match. Let's get this thing started. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Helping me out on this episode, it's a couple faces that aren't normals on the show, but they're helping us out tonight. First, I don't know. Mr. Matt Elder here from Countline Coalition. Is this the first time you've been the first person introduced on the show? I believe so, right?
I'd have to go back to last year when I was introduced and remember that, but perhaps.
I would assume so, because I think we had at least one other of my normal co-hosts here. So it's an honor for you to be able to come on. It's an honor for us to have you here. How are you doing, man? How's the season been treating you so far?
So far, so good, man. Six games, you know, to start the season, we looked really good and, you know, can't complain about being top of the West after six last year. Or last game didn't go so well, but, you know, you're going to lose a game. It's going to be the team, you know, that's expected to top the West and, you know, there's worse teams to lose too. So, you know, feeling good so far this season. See how it kind of goes.
Yeah.
Getting those cobwebs shook off, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't hurt as much when you're losing against someone that is supposed to be a tough opponent, right? It's when you lose to those bottom of the table teams that really hurt and sting the most. Hey, we got one other person helping us out tonight. This is a debut for him on our show, but it's not a debut for him contributing to the podcast, because if you go to our website, he's been contributing some great Spanish written content for those of you that prefer reading in that language. That's Mr. Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Ray. What's up, all there? It's great to be here.
And we're glad to have you on here. First, let me just say thank you for what you've been contributing to our website and the written stuff. It's one of the things, I think when we started this podcast in 2018, we were looking to find ways to diversify what we're providing with, you know, the faces on screen, the stuff that we're producing. And we stepped our written game up last season. Now with the help of you, we're getting some Spanish content, which is awesome to have available on there. Let me ask you the same question I asked Matt. How is the season treating you so far?
Yeah, man, considering everything, better than I maybe could have hoped for. The start was really, really great. An undefeated start in those first five games was definitely a lot of fun to be a part of. We sort of got grounded a little bit yesterday, but like you guys mentioned, it was a really great team. They played a really, really great game, and that's just how it's going to go sometimes. You're going to play against good teams, and sometimes they're going to beat you, and that's really what happened last night. But besides that, it's been a fun season. I'm excited for what's coming once our guys get healthy.
Yeah, definitely excited for what will come when we get some healthy stuff going on this roster. It's been a struggle, players out of position, players missing that are key players that we were all hoping and counting on for the season. So hopefully we get some players back, things start turning around. The good thing that we can look at is this is a very unusual start for Orange County. They don't typically start off pretty strong. Usually, I'll go to you, Matt, because you would know it typically takes a month or two for the team to start figuring out their form, right? I mean, this is not a typical start for the team, right, Matt?
At least not recently. I mean, I was surprised at one point Nathan said, like, it's not our best start for the first six games or something like that. But yeah, I mean, we've gone through what the last couple seasons have been very bad in the first 3 months, 4 months, honestly. One of them leads to a championship. Another one leads to, you know, bottom of the West. So, you know,
yeah.
This season, like, it's one of those things, like, there's been parts of the games where I've been like, these corner kick goals that we've kind of leaned on a lot this season so far. Like, I don't know how sustainable this is, but it's points that you're picking up in the beginning of the season when it's better to pick them up than to not, you know? So, yeah.
Great start to the season so far for the team, but in this match against Sacramento that we're going to talk about, probably the worst possible start you can have. I believe it's a goal in the first 16 seconds for Sacramento, which we were talking about before we went live here. It sort of sucked any energy that the club, that the players had, and even out of the stands. I think other than maybe the CLC, who, regardless of what's going on, they're chanting the full time, the rest of the fans probably were just so shocked that it was almost impossible to get that energy back. Let me ask you first. I'm going to go to you on this, Andrew, because you were, I don't know, were you already up in the press box at this point, or were you not even at your seat yet? No,
first half I watched down by the Pete. I watched the down pitch side. I was there by the field. So I was sitting right behind Morden for the first half.
Okay, cool. So you had the coach eye view of this opening goal. First, what are your thoughts? Just what happened for Orange County on that opening goal? And how did Sacramento take such a good advantage of whatever happened out there?
It's almost hard to tell. Honestly, I was still taking footage of the kickoff to post on social media. So that goal really took me by surprise. Just like you said, it really was a gut punch. And you mentioned earlier in the pre-show that the morale, it was just difficult to come back from that. And I think the biggest thing that we saw in that first goal was that Sacramento sort of knew what they were doing. They really attacked our weakness from the get-go. And you saw it right from kickoff. They had that plan. You knew that's exactly the goal they had dreamed up the night before. So it was a team who had done their homework and then went ahead and executed, you know?
And let me ask you really quick, Andrew. Like you said, you were sort of right behind the bench. Did you capture or did you notice any reaction from the coaching staff, the players on the sideline there? What was the reaction from them when that happened?
From Sacramento, I was really closer to the Sacramento side. When the goal happened, I was panning over, and I was right by the coach, and it was an explosion on their bench. As I started heading over after the goal, it was Morden was sat by the bench just talking to his assistant, and that was a theme throughout that first half, just lots of comments to each other. You could definitely tell that there was a frustration. There was something that he wasn't seeing there, and frustration really is the key word there. They looked like they weren't happy.
Man, I'm going to go to you because I'm going to assume that CLC, the County Line Coalition, were in the midst of their County Roads chant when that goal goes off. Let me ask you how, first of all, did you all finish the song or did you all sort of stop mid-song? And how difficult is it in that type of situation to finish the song as the team is celebrating, the opposing team is celebrating a goal?
Yeah, I was going to ask that to maybe our resident statisticians. If one, this is the fastest goal we've ever conceded, I assume it is. And if two, I can't remember if ever we've had County Roads get interrupted by a goal. It's weird. It happens with any goal throughout the game. When you're like in the middle of a song, do you finish the song? Do you kind of, for the most part, you know, especially in the middle of a game, you're kind of like, okay, maybe, I don't know if it's like a juju thing or what, but it's like, oh, maybe we stopped this song because it just led to a goal. But it was tough to get through, but I think we kind of kept it going. You know, kind of have to finish it. You can't just, especially when that happens. I mean, the best thing you can do in that situation is keep going, right? Like, you can't sit there when you score, the other team scores in 12 seconds. You can't be like, all right, well, guess this one's over. You know, you got to kind of keep fighting. So I guess that was kind of the mentality for me, at least, with trying to keep the song going. Like, all right, boys, like, you know, get it back. Like, can't just put your head down after 12 seconds of the game. Like, still a lot of game left to play, so
it's nil-nil, the coaches love to say.
Yeah,
that's the mentality you have to go into, right? It's just forget about that first goal. Let's just go back into it and basically start our game plan over from scratch, act like it's the beginning of the match again. Let me ask you this. I'll go to you, Matt. What were your thoughts? I mean, because obviously once Sacramento scores that early goal, they're able to just sort of do the whole bend, don't break defense mentality, right? Is just play solid defense. At that point, you don't need to worry as much about the attack. Although we've debated on this show if that's a smart way to play. But I mean, Orange County really couldn't figure out a way to break down Sacramento's tough defense. And Sacramento basically knew that's all they had to do at that point. What are your thoughts on how that changed Orange County, you know, just tactically from your standpoint, what you saw?
Yeah, of course you'd never want to go down 1-0 to that quickly in any game, right? But if there's like one team, maybe two in the USL that I'd pick, one of them would be Sacramento, to not want that to happen, because they're a team that's very solid defensively. They're not going to give up a lot of goals, and it gives them the opportunity to just basically sit back and, you know, say, okay, now come get us. And in that regard, I was a little like not happy with conceding a goal, obviously, but I was curious of like, okay, like now we've been a pretty defensive team for the first six games. I was thinking, okay, now we have to come out. Now we have to like show our stuff offensively, see what we can put together. And, you know, didn't really work out. But yeah, I mean, there's not really many worse teams you could do an early goal conceded that early than Sacramento, who's just going to hit you on the break and say, hey, we have the game in our hands. We can just sit back. And it's kind of what led to our second goal is getting caught, you know, Chada getting caught upfield a little bit and having to track back, and they're able to put a nice cross in. And
I mean, and that second goal takes such a weird bounce. You can't tell, is that the intent of the goal scorer, or is it just,
yeah, you think that's what you're taught to do. Yeah. As a forward, you're taught to hit it as hard as you can into the ground. Okay. I mean, on the volley, it's impressive, like to be able to do that. But no, I mean, when I saw it take that bounce, I went, oh man, like, cause you could just see the trajectory was perfect for it to hit the ground and just bounce right out. Like there's nothing that Durant could have done for that one. You know, maybe on the first one, he could have come out and punched it. Kind of got caught in like a bit of a should I or shouldn't I. But the second one, I mean, there's just not much you can do. And that's exactly what you're taught as a forward, is hit it into the ground and get a good bounce or get under the goalie, whatever you can do.
And I think that second goal basically zapped any energy or any chance I think that Orange County really felt they could get out of this, at least in the fan standpoint. I'm sure the players were still out there trying to figure things out. That brings up the question, Mike, Duran in goal instead of Colin Shuttler. Would have Shuttler made a save on that opening goal? I'm talking about the first goal. He's a little bit taller than Duran, and he tends to come out slightly more aggressively, I believe. I mean, we've seen it a few times where he comes out and he takes a knock. I know, Andrew, you spoke to Coach Carlson after the match about Duran and goal instead of Shuttler. What did you get out of that, or what out of that conversation with Coach?
Yeah, Coach. So Coach said the biggest thing was that it was to reward Duran for that performance against San Antonio as a young keeper coming in last minute. He mentioned that Colin got injured in the warm-up about 10 minutes before that game. And so come in, when called upon like that as a young kid especially, it's not the easiest thing. And then he performed. He really got that clean sheet. So for Coach, it was about rewarding him. He did say that Colin was good to go. He was ready to play. But it was about rewarding Duran for that good performance against San Antonio.
And we've got some confirmation that I was wrong and Shuttler is actually shorter. I think maybe just in my eyes, I see Shuttler a little bit more aggressive in the sky in that definitely situation. So maybe that's why I think of him as a taller or bigger player. Is just, I picture Shuttler coming out and punching that. Duran looked a little shocked in that moment. And again, it shocked everyone, that situation there. So that was really tough to see. Hey, we'll talk a little bit more about
It's one of those ones where like you could do better, but I don't necessarily, I mean, that's the perfect spot to put it where the keeper doesn't know, like, should I go? Should I stay? It's just one of those ones, like, just unfortunate. And I mean, that's a great header by Amon. It hits off the bar and goes down, hits into the goal. Like, I mean,
let me just say this, young attackers, young strikers, be aggressive to that ball. Don't wait for the ball to come to you. If you watch him on in that, he's not waiting for the ball to come to him. He's attacking that ball. And that's the reason why he gets the goal instead of Duran getting a hand on it or someone else getting a touch on the ball. He was aggressive. He got the head of the ball. He deserved that goal 100%. That was really a really great play by him. Let's move on real quick, because we do have a couple other guests that are going to speak with us today about our upcoming match against Monterey Bay. They joined us before, and this is neat because last time they joined us, they were sitting side by side on one camera. Now we've got two separate cameras, so we could talk to both of these. We've got Superfan Dan, and we've got Oz Fuerza Union representing the house, Monterey Bay FC. Let me ask, and you all, you know, pick Evening, how you want to come at this.
What's up, y'all?
Welcome to the show. Welcome back, y'all.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us.
Good to see you. Glad we could have you back on here. We loved the conversation last time we had you. Unfortunately, we don't have Larry and his beard game to compete with you, but I do have a couple other beards that are representing on this episode, and I've got my wannabe beard growing here. Let's talk about Monterey Bay coming up here against Orange County. How's Monterey Bay been doing this season? How have things been looking for y'all?
You want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty good these first couple of months. You know, what is it, four up to four wins now, and and this team is really coming together. It's composed a little bit differently than it was the first 2 years, a lot younger. And they seem to be playing for each other a lot better than they have in these first two seasons. Not that there was any kind of like locker room breakdown or anything in the first two seasons, but this team is just seems to be playing for themselves, for each other a lot different. And it's been pretty exciting these first couple months.
And one of the things that Monterey Bay did that's going to at least be on the good side for Orange County fans, y'all knocked out Irvine Zeta in the Open Cup, which I don't know. I think some of the Orange County fans were hoping to be the ones that get to knock them out, but hey, they get the real Irviners get knocked out by Monterey Bay, which we appreciate that from you all.
Well, I did not want to show up to Championship Stadium after after losing to Irvine. That would have been pretty rough. I think you guys would have had a fun time with that, but it felt felt good to get that out of the way.
Great job on that. And the Open Cup, awesome to see a team like Monterey Bay really working and trying to be successful there. I know there's big old craziness with the Open Cup coming into this session of it. I'm loving to see what the USL teams, I'm not going to just say USL championship. USL teams have been really good in the competition so far.
Agreed.
I'm hoping that will continue. Superfan, what's been going well for Monterey Bay?
Well, I think, we've talked a lot about the off season, about the losses. We lost five guys, and pretty substantial ones. We lost James Murphy, who'd been with us, midfield dynamo, who'd been with us since the inception. We lost our captain, Hugh Roberts, who moved back to USL One and went back to Charlotte Independence. Lost Sam Gleedel to Louisville. We lost Christian Valesky. Those two of our big scorers. Ugo Okoli. I mean, we lost some really vital components to us last season, but we've replaced them with younger, I want to say hungrier guys, but I mean, at the same time, we've also brought in some veteran experience. We brought Rafa Baca back. For those of you who follow MLS, he played for Frank Yallop at the Earthquakes for 4 or 5 seasons and then played 12 seasons in Liga MX. But he played the last three months of last season with us and then has come back. We also added Carlos Guzman from San Diego Loyal. And when we saw Guzman in preseason, we saw him and Kai Green. Carlos was replacing Hugh Roberts, and Oz and I kind of looked at each other and was like, I'm not sure this is going to work. But what we've seen is we've got kind of the beast and finesse pairing in the back there. You know, Kai is bringing the force, and Carlos Guzman has got the finesse. He's been able to really lay on some deep passes from the back, and it's worked really, really well. Maury Doner, of course, is flying down the right hand flank as good as he ever has. And we've got Tristan Traeger from Charleston Battery and Luther Archimed from Sacramento Republic, who are both guys who didn't get a whole lot of minutes from the start, but they're both eyeing that starting position. And Traeger's off to a fine start with 4 goals so far this season. So we're clicking. We're clicking in ways, like Oz said, that we haven't done in the last 2 seasons. So it's looking very positive for us. The guys are all playing for the name on the front of the shirt rather than the back of the shirt. And that's not to say that hasn't happened in the last 2 seasons, but you can really see that this season. It's evident from the start. And it's really great. Cue Mick Roberts. I don't know if anybody remembers that one from when we played last year. The announcer kept calling Hugh Roberts Mick Roberts, so that was funny. Sorry.
No worries. So it sounds like it's been a good start for you guys. It's been a pretty start for Orange County as well. The table shows a lot of parity. Only 2 goals separate them, 2 points separate them in the table. And it sounds like even the story of the season with your guys' players, a lot of the dynamics that are forming, well, maybe your guys' relationships are getting a little bit stronger. Ours might be a little bit more fuzzier, but there's still a lot of parallels, I would say, and the experiences each team is going through. So it feels like there's a lot of similarities. What do you guys expect to be maybe some of the bigger differences between the teams in how they might approach this next game?
Oz, you want to take that?
Yeah, well, again, going into the Memphis match last week, I was, you know, this is a, this version of Monterey Bay is a lot more possession oriented. Again, that finesse that Dan was talking about kind of spreads around the pitch there as well. So like when it came to Memphis, the way Memphis was playing, the way we were playing, I was like, I want this team to hold back and use their counterattacking capabilities to destroy Memphis on the counter. But they went on the front, you know. So again, I expect this team to be, you know, the aggressiveness. I feel like I'm you guys were kind of alluding to it a bit when before we came on. I was listening to it, and yeah, this is a team in Monterey Bay that definitely has a really strong defense and is capable of just absorbing attacks and coming on the counter. But that's not how they're doing it this year. They're going to come at you, and I'm curious if. Again, I feel like Orange County has seemed to struggle this year so far with, I mean, it's so early in the season, but again, I think their offense, the Orange County offense is not clicking quite yet. So again, I expect Monterey Bay to come out aggressive and not want to go down in the first minute like they did on Saturday.
I'll agree with Oz in that, you know, in seasons past, we've seen our guys with 30, 40% of the possession. We saw the halftime stats at the game on the weekend was we had 63% of the possession. We were not going to give up that ball. We were going in for every second ball. We're playing more aggressive this season than we have. And I think looking at Orange County, I think we could all agree there's probably one vital piece missing from the Orange County side that isn't there from seasons past. And maybe that's the glue maybe that's the glue that's missing. In any case, as Oz said, it's very early in the season. We're looking forward to coming down and meeting you guys again. Well, this will be the first time that Oz and I will have made the trip down to OC, but, we're coming down on Saturday. We look forward to meeting up with you guys if you're up for it. And just watch us a good game of football. So
we've kind of answered what I was kind of leaning towards asking kind of in two ways. One, I was going to think kind of talk about Traeger a little bit because yep. I've watched a couple of your games this year. I watched, I think, Rhode Island. I watched most of that game and then the the Vegas game. Yep. And you guys kind of dominated both those games quite a bit. And I was kind of surprised last year, me and Carlos came up there for our game at the end of the year. And like, I kind of remember coming away from that game, just like, what is this team kind of, like, I mean, I know you guys were low in the table, so it wasn't a surprise that we won or anything, but it was more of a, like, what's the goal? Like, what's the style here? What do you guys kind of, what does it say you guys do around here type of feeling that I came with after that game. So, to see this year that you guys are kind of going a little more possession based to go and you guys kind of dominating. And then you have Traeger just kind of, I mean, relatively scoring for fun. One in every two games is pretty dang good at this level.
Yep.
So yeah, it's looking really good. And then to kind of indirectly answer your indirect question there, yeah, we miss Milan, but I think more so this year so far, we miss our back line. I think for me, I think the way we've kind of played this year is a little bit of like hoof it up to Among and hope he can hold it up. And I think we wouldn't be doing that if we still had Nakim, Powers, and Dogman.
Got it.
I think not having those three players at the back that we trust to play out from the back, I think kind of changes how we've had to play and kind of changes our buildup style. So
understood.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Matt. I think one of the big losses big struggles is you got someone like Ashish Chadha playing on that left back that's not anywhere near his normal position. He's normally a ball dominant midfielder wanting to make that happen. So he even was on the show recently and saying that's been the biggest struggle for him is trying to learn how to play more like a defensive player and less like that midfielder. And there's been times in that first goal, the 16-second goal that Sacramento scored against us, if you look at it, Ashish is out of position when Roro gets that ball and he has all that space to be able to prep for that cross, look up, see what's over there, get that cross in. It's because you have someone like Ashish in that wrong position. So I just wanted to call out what Matt's saying there is, yeah, that three of our key defenders have not been in there pretty much this whole early part of the season in Marcus Nockum, Dylan Powers, and Ryan Dogman, which once we get those back, it's a different story, 100%.
And that's what we suffered at the tail end of last season. We had a lot of injuries. We had some suspensions. We had some national team call-ups. We were missing Walmer Martinez for a little bit because he was with El Salvador.
We're going to be missing him again this weekend.
Well, yes, we are losing, but for a completely different reason. We understand what those absences are like and what that means to a team that's as cohesive as OC is. So, yeah, we're coming together at the right time for us, I think, this season. Really looking forward to seeing what we can do down at the Champ.
I don't know, Andrew, it sounded like you were about to say something when I sort of jumped in and rambled a little bit. Did you have something you wanted to throw into that conversation?
Not at all. I just wanted to point out that you and Matt both sounded a lot like Coach. He used a metaphor that I liked, that we're like a skill without balance, without Nakeem in that midfield, especially. He made a special reference to missing our captain. But like you mentioned, Ray, there's three big injuries there in that midfield, and that really has changed how our balance. He mentioned that left side was especially unbalanced. That's that side that Ashish is on. So you can definitely see where it's not just impacting our defending, the way we concede. It's also impacting the way we attack, progress the ball. We do resort to hoofing it up to Among a lot. Because we're not really able to play on that wing. We're not having the same overlapping runs. There's just so much missing, so many little things that stem from those three players in the back line. And it's just wanted to point out how you guys sounded a lot like him.
Well, and can I just throw out there also, I know Dan mentioned Missy Milan Alaski. I know Brad called out the name, or not Brad. Why am I saying Brad? Matt called out the name of Milan Alaski in that conversation. One of the things that's also been hurting for Orange County so far this season is Ethan Zubac hasn't found his fit with this team yet. And he's a proven scorer at this level. We know he can score at this level. For some reason, he's just struggling right now. And I'm thinking right now it's to the point where he's pushing too much to try and make things happen. And he's in his head. Because we all saw a couple matches ago where he had pretty much an open shot on goal from a great pass from Brian Olaski and just sort of missed it, and it was just a nice, easy shot right to the San Antonio goalkeeper, which would have given us 3 points in San Antonio. So I'm hopeful still that Ethan can find his footing, and maybe it's against Monterey Bay that he's able to figure that out and open up the goal sheet. And I'm going to say this, the rest of the league should be scared. Once he figures out how to score goals again at this level, he's going to be a dangerous player. He will be once he gets there. He just needs to figure that out, and it's just taking a little bit longer than I think most of us expected. Oz, Dan, do you have any questions for us, you know, for your end? Do you want to hear anything?
You guys Oz answered my question already when I was listening. I was just noticing that, yeah, Shetler hadn't started the last couple of matches, and I had no idea what was up with that, and I was curious. But yeah, you guys mentioned it was just a knock 1 week and then kind of a reward for the young guy the second match, right? So you expect him to be playing on Saturday?
We are anticipating it.
Yeah,
we're anticipating that unless something happens. That's the thought process in all this. But you know, with this league, you never know because they don't really provide really great injury reports to anyone. Even the media don't. We don't get. You know, no one gets injury reports in this league. It's all hush, quiet, just like the preseason behind closed doors, all that fun stuff that happens in this league. So the hope is yes, but I can't say for sure.
My question has nothing to do with OC or Monterey Bay. My question is, how many Newcastle fans are in the Orange and Black Soccer Cast fandom there? I only ask the question because 7 a.m. on Saturday, I plan on being at Dos Amigos Mexican Cantina with the rest of Toon Army OC. So
let me tell you this really quick, Dan. If you're going to make the trip out there, I will – my friend – a really good friend of mine. He actually is like one of the main people in that group. I will, if you're going to make it out there, let me know. And I will let him know to welcome you out there.
I received the invitation from the Facebook group. So they sent it to me privately and said, please do join us. So that's awesome.
And if you make it there, ask for Mark and tell him Ray says, I, I'm a Spurs fan, so I can't really talk to him right now because they just
We're not allowed to talk. Sorry, Ray.
No, y'all just did us dirty. That was just not even fun. But we had done you dirty the first match of the season. So
it happened. It was again. Payback.
Everybody does you dirty, Ray.
No, like looking forward to it. And then again, at Championship Stadium, I won't be hard to find. Oz will be also with the flag. So we'll please boo all these guys.
I was going to say this about the traveling fans. Do you know about how many traveling fans y'all are anticipating making the trip?
Well, as of right now, we know of four.
Okay. But a big group.
Hey, we brought three, so you're beating us. Last year.
Well, and we saw Larry. Larry was on the side. He was actually down on field level. He reached out and said hi as I was walking by. So I'm looking forward to seeing him on Saturday as well. I've been answering questions on Instagram most of today, asking, "Hey, if we're going to be down in that area, where do we get tickets?" And I give them the discount link that OC sent to our SGs. So at this point, it's a crapshoot. I don't know how many we've got. I know of four, me, Oz, and another couple who's making the trip down. But yeah, we could have upward of a dozen. We will see. I know that the front office has several people coming down as well. So we're just looking forward to it.
So to reach out, I'm going to recommend reach out to the CLC people. They do a tailgate under a big tree, I believe, is okay. If that's where they still do it. But yeah, it's an open tailgate. They're not going to be biased because you all are fans of the other team. They'll welcome you. We're good fans in Orange County. We're not the main ones.
We'll bring beer. It's okay.
Just be careful with it because Irvine PD is not the biggest fan of open beverages.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
we'll bring apple juice.
Apple juice. That's right.
Except we just said it on this show. So if Irvine PD watches
non-alcoholic beer. I'll bring non-alcoholic beer.
Froth water.
They've been really good this year. They drove by like three times Saturday, and we all had like cans of beer, and they didn't say a word. So I think they're cool with it.
Maybe they're getting a little bit more comfortable
with
it.
It's a big effing tree. Okay, we will look for that. All right.
Is it the sign still says food lab with an arrow pointing that way, right? If I recall That's correctly, right. Matt, is that okay. what it is? Oh, Andrew confirmed that. Yeah. So look for a sign as you're walking over the stadium that says food lab and follow that arrow. And there's a big tree right there that you can meet up with the other.
Ray, Matt, Andrew, thanks, guys. It's been great to see you all again. Good to talk with you. Oz, thanks for setting this up.
Yeah,
awesome,
and getting us on again.
Really quick, what I want to do, I want to get some predictions from you. But before we do so, we got to bring up our score prediction. We do a contest on this show. Everyone's welcome to participate, not just Orange County fans. So, Oz, Dan, if you want to jump in now, and maybe you all can rise up the board here and make predictions. The predictions are specifically for Orange County matches, so obviously you'd have to know a little bit about what's going on. But this is what we have going on right now through week 7. As you can see, what we consider the experts on the podcast team, there's only really one expert on there, and that's Taylor. She tends to do really good on this, but she also played soccer in Scotland and I believe came out to the States and played at the college level. So she knows the game a little bit better than most of us here. So thus, she does pretty good at these predictions.
I remember Taylor from the last time we got together. So, yeah.
There we go.
She was on the show
that day. For the listeners, we've got a couple that one's at 21, Michael L, and we got Kayvon at 20. They're the leaders out of the non-experts, although that's a questionable term there because if you look at me, I'm only at 10, and thus maybe I shouldn't be considered an expert. But I call myself an expert just because I've done a podcast for 6 years now.
There you go.
So here's what I want from you. I want a prediction, who's going to win, and what the score is going to be, and we'll go from bottom up from what we're seeing on the screen. So I'm going to start with you, Dan.
I'm going Monterey win. It's a 2-1 game.
2-1 Monterey. What about you, Oz?
2-1. All right. I'm actually also Monterey Bay win, but 2-0.
Ooh, you're going for the shutout
against
Orange County. You're not as excited about me of Ethan Zubak. Open up the score sheet here. But we'll see. Andrew, what about you?
I think it's going to be a fun one, maybe a little bit cagey. I'm going a 1-1.
Ooh, nice.
1-1. And Mr. Elder?
I'm going to go 2-1 Orange County. I think we bounce back, and I think you guys aren't quite as defensively solid as Sacramento, so I think we might get one or two and see what happens.
All right. For my what am I going to do? Because I haven't been that successful the last few matches. But, you know, here's what I'm going to do. In honor of you, Mr. Dan, I'm going to call this out. Orange County wins 4-0 over Monterey Bay.
Nice. Okay. Oh, yeah.
We're
going
to give you some revenge. All right.
I see what Ray's doing. I see what Ray's doing. I hear you. I like
so one day it'll Orange hit. County. One day it'll hit, Ray.
Hey, y'all. All you Orange County fans are going to be loving me when that score happens. Y'all be like, yep, I love Ray. He's awesome. Let's do this really quick before we let y'all go. Dan, Oz, share with our listeners if they want to hear more from your wonderful voices. Where do they go? What do they listen to?
Oz.
Every Tuesday, we're on Instagram Live at about 6:30, 6:45 at Fuerza Union Instagram account. That's the... Every week, every Tuesday, we're at our local pub, or sometimes it's Wednesdays, but yeah, IG Live Tuesdays, again, right there, at Fuerza Union Club, follow that, and yeah, every Tuesday, or sometimes Wednesday, we're on live for about an hour, and I mean, that's sometimes too much fun, when there's beer just arm's length available. Away from you, sometimes you have a little bit too much fun.
and I'm...
Answers, right?
I'm at SuperFanDan831 on Instagram, Laszlo325 on X, I guess now. And I'm also, if you're interested, if you're a Newcastle fan, I'm also on a YouTube channel called Through Black and White Eyes. And I have a show there that I do with my friend John O'Hare from Oklahoma called Barcode Banter. And that's what we do there. But we're also... We're starting to branch out and talk about Monterey Bay because I'm interested in turning Monterey Bay fans into Newcastle fans and Newcastle fans into Monterey Bay fans. So it's what we do. I just spent 2 weeks in Newcastle at the end of March and the beginning of April over Easter weekend. So looking forward to it.
And for anyone in Orange County, if you want to hang out with Superfan Dan for the Newcastle match, meet him up at
Dos Amigos.
Dos Amigos, they have good food there. I'm going to say they have some pretty good food there. I ate there when I went and watched Tottenham whoop on Newcastle with the Newcastle fans.
Was that at 7 a.m. also? I'm hoping the kitchen's open.
Or maybe 6 o'clock? No, they okay. The owner, I believe, is a Newcastle fan, so he specifically opens up the kitchen for the fans that come out for that. So you're in luck there.
Looking forward to it.
I want to thank you, gentlemen, for... Thank you for coming out and joining us and helping preview this match with us. Best of luck on the season, just not this weekend. Yeah. Look at those graphics, man. That is some high tech stuff.
I'm starting to learn stuff on StreamYard. Jeez. So check it out.
I don't even know how to do that stuff, man. So if you're not watching live, you don't know what's going on.
No, you hold it up there. Okay. Hold it up there for a minute. Hold it. There, it'll come.
Nope.
Unless you're host.
I'm not as technologically advanced, man.
There you go.
His
but
hands
yeah,
don't
if you
work.
Hold your two thumbs up yeah, for a matter of moments, then you get fireworks. That's awesome. Too much fun with it.
Oh, we're having too much fun right now, but we gotta let y'all go. Y'all gotta get some sleep and get ready for.
We'll
the weekend.
See you on Saturday.
Coming up. Yep, we'll see you.
Looking forward to it, guys.
Awesome. So that was a fun conversation. This is really what this podcast is all about: is meeting other soccer fans, especially at this level, the USL. Getting engaged with them and having fun and making some friends, some long distance friends. We've told the story numerous times. That's how Brad became an Orange County fan, Orange County soccer fan, is because when me and Dylan made the trip up there for a season opener in Reno, he was our chauffeur. He volunteered to drive us around so we didn't have to rent a car. We didn't have to Uber. He said, hey, I'll drive you guys around. And when Reno folded, we talked to him. He's like, yeah, I'll come and join you guys and I'll become an Orange County fan. Doesn't hurt that we were getting a lot of former Reno players on this team as well, like Brent Richards, Seth Kasipley.
Easy transition for him.
Yes. Let's do this. We've pretty much covered most of the stuff. But before we go, I want to do this. I think we've already heard, or if we haven't heard, I'm sure most people already know Matt's story on how he, you know, heard about Orange County, became a fan, and started following. Andrew, I want to hear from you. Like, what's your Orange County Soccer Club story and how you... You started following this club and liking this club.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of my childhood bouncing around, but I have a really special affinity with Anaheim. I spent 3 years there, and so I've always claimed it, really. Despite moving away, I've loved Anaheim. I've loved Orange County. So OC has always been my home. I've always been a soccer fan. But up until really 3 years ago, I wasn't aware that we had a team in OC. I've known about the Galaxy. I've known, you know, your MLS teams, things like that. But I guess I really was like a casual. USL wasn't too much in my radar. But I started seeing some ads on Instagram, I think is what it was. And as soon as that clicked in my conscience, it really was a game changer. I'm a big Real Madrid fan. I'm a big Fiorentina fan. So I've loved the idea of having a European style team here, something that felt like mine, right? It felt like a tunnel dream for the longest. And then all of a sudden, my dream became reality. There's this massive club here in Irvine. And so it was super easy for me to just jump into it and embrace it.
Awesome. Well, we're glad you found Orange County. You became a fan, just like all of the fans. We've loved. I know Matt is one of the few people on here that can really say I've seen this growth from the start, because he was one of those originals that when you had a few fans. I believe Matt, you're the one that tells us the story of, you know, bringing a couch to stadiums and kicking back on couches. Or if it's not you, we've heard the story from somewhere. But that you've seen this grow, Matt. How exciting has it been now? I know last time we talked about this, but now it's even more. It's a bigger thing than it ever was before.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that's why I kind of really preach the, like, just be patient, you know, like some of the things that the club has tried to do to, like, force our group to grow. And, like, I appreciate the help, of course, but, like, there's a part of me that's like, it will organically grow. You just got to give it time. I mean, you look at some other clubs like around the world, and it's like they have generations of families that, you know, grew up supporting the club and stuff. And it might take a generation. You know, maybe we don't have that much time, but, you know, we need to just kind of let it happen. And people like Andrew are going to find the team just by, you know, letting time pass and word of mouth. It's going to be like an exponential thing at one point, you know, and it kind of has been the last few years where, you know, it was four of us, you know, that's usually the story I'll tell, is like, it was, you know, for the most part, it was like me, Blaine, Haggis, and Adam, a couple other people that would just be like four of us singing, you know, bringing tall boys into the stadium, throwing them over the fence and sitting over at the stone steps over there at UCI. And then a couple of years later, you know, we've got like 10, 15 guys, you know, people coming up and, you know, showing support. And then every time it grows by one or two people, you have the word of mouth that spreads, you know, exponentially. You have the like advertising and all that that's helping a lot. So yeah, I think it's just been awesome to see that over the last probably 3 or 4 years has really kind of exploded from like a core group of like 10 guys or whatever to, you know, almost our whole section seems full at times. And that's what it's going to take, you know, just being something that's appealing and people will come and kind of check it out, what's going on over here. And that's something I'm happy to see over my 9 years now.
Yeah, the organic growth is really awesome to see. Obviously, in any platform, I'm sure Andrew probably is familiar when you look at stuff on Twitter and stuff. I mean, you can pay for clicks, you can pay for followers, you can do all this stuff, right? But is it true? Like, you're going to pay for followers and a month later, they're going to drop and stop following you, right? That's the same thing when you look at like Carolina Coalition and the fans at Orange County. You could try and pay to get fans into the stadium, but they're not going to be committed. They're not going to stay because they want to be here. They're there because they're getting paid, and then they're going to leave once they get that moment. So it's been awesome, because I remember my first matches CLC, although you all were a nice, you know, nice loud voice out there, it was not the way it was now with so many committed diehard fans that are out there, you know, game in, game out, celebrating, doing it all. So that's awesome to hear. And again, Andrew, welcome. Fans, if you're listening to this, share your stories with us, either, you know, on Twitter, Facebook, or it's X now, X, Facebook, Instagram. Share with us how you became a fan. Maybe we'll get to sort of highlight that story in a future episode or even on our social media. Let me ask you, gentlemen, before we start wrapping things up, any other stuff y'all want to talk about when it comes to Orange County, Orange County Soccer Club, or soccer in general?
I guess I had two things. One really quickly, as part of that anecdote of me getting in with Orange County, I do want to shout out Logan. He's the one who connected me with the CLC. He saw me posting a little bit about Orange County on Twitter, and he got me connected with the Discord. That's how I got involved with all of you guys. My first seeing elders' messages and seeing all those Discord names, and then seeing them become real people, getting to meet them under the tree. That whole experience is really, really awesome. So for any new fans, people who are just sort of watching, get in there, man. It's a really, really fun group of people, and it's just great to see the transformation, how you can go from screen to great friends. And I guess that second thing I wanted to mention is I got to, after the game, I also got the chance to speak with Bryce Jamison, which I was really excited about. And I got to ask him about sort of his personal growth and his professional growth in the last year. 2023 was a really, really big year for him. He really started emerging into the OC team. He had that those appearances at the U17 World Cup. He got to travel internationally. So lots of really, really big things for a young guy. And he highlighted how he's been going through that. He's living alone for really the first time. But he mentioned, I guess, all the things that come with living alone and starting something that can be as daunting as being a pro. So it was really cool to get the chance to speak with him and hear how really they're just like us. And he's a really great young man, super well spoken, and it was great to hear how he's been growing, and I'm excited to see his growth in the future.
Perfect. On that first note, one thing I would definitely recommend to people that I think really helps with, at least with us getting to know Andrew, is travel with the team or with the supporters. I think like a lot of us kind of knew through like Andrew's name through the Discord and like had, you know, seen him around a little bit here and there, and then he's like, "Yo, I'm coming up to Sacramento," and came with us. And it was like, it's such a great chance to like get to know people and like have a good time, have some beers, you know, do a little midnight walk over to the Mexican joint near the campground, like stuff like that. It's like, it's how you build the relationships and have fun with like your fans. So like, yeah, it's fun for us to sing for 90 minutes, you know, on the pitch and during the games, but it's so much more than that if you kind of just dive headfirst into it. So
I love it, man. Got chills listening to that, man. It really is the beautiful game. It's good stuff, man. Awesome. Thanks a lot for welcoming the reception, guys. It's been such a blast.
No, awesome. CLC is awesome. They're so welcoming to true fans that want to come out. Or even if you're sort of a casual fan, they're welcomed. They'll welcome anyone out there that's willing to come out and chant with them and support the players with them and participate with them. So it's an awesome group. If you haven't had a chance to go sit with them, hang out with them, do so. Let's do this. Last week we debuted a new little feature on our show that we're going to do from time to time. It's called Two Truths and a Lie. Our first Two Truths and a Lie was with Ethan Zubek. Let's remind you of what his responses were.
Hi, I'm Ethan Zubek. I'm a forward and I play for Orange County SC. I have scored a goal in the USL 10 seconds into the game. I am a UCLA Bruin, and I have six brothers.
So those were the three options. One of those is a lie. Two of them are the truth. Before we reveal the answer, Elder, Matt, do you want to take a guess at which one is the lie?
No, because I cheated.
Okay, he cheated. He's not going to give it. Andrew, how about you?
Well, if you watched the last Saturday's game, you might know that one of those was a lie. I'm going to go with the first one being a lie.
First one, lie. All right, let's reveal the answer from Ethan.
I'm Ethan Zubek, forward for Orange County SC, and my lie is that I have six brothers. I only have three brothers.
Do you remember their names?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. Aiden, Justin, and Liam, shout out you guys. I'm Ethan Z.
Awesome. So there we go. It was option number three was the lie. Matt is confused there. Are you confused, Matt?
When did he go to UCLA?
Hey, you know what? This is his thing. If he's lying about that too, who knows? But his answer to us was that he has the three brothers. So. And shout out to Ethan, because he wasn't ready for that when I asked him, do you remember their names? And to be able to remember, I get it. You should remember your brother's names. But when you're on the spot like that, you might trip up. So it was pretty cool. It was fun. We had fun asking some of the players those questions. So you'll get to see more of those as we go throughout the season. But Matt still looks, he looks angry. He looks like he's mad that he got that.
No, I was reading Eli's comment.
Awesome. So Matt, Andrew, if you haven't watched us this season, we wrap up every episode with something that you learned in the episode. So you just look back at what we discussed, what we talked about, what our guests might have had to say, and you share what you learned in this episode. So I'm going to go first just because I want to give you all a chance to prepare for this. But I learned that Superfan Dan is now a mortal enemy of mine because his Newcastle whooped on my Spurs a couple weeks back. So now he is an enemy right now. I think even more so than any other person on here. And I know Elder and I have had conversations in the past about some of this, but right now, again, it's recent memory. He's my number one enemy.
It's all right. On that, so. You'll be saying something different in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is.
Andrew, what did you learn this episode?
Yeah, I was really interested to hear what Dan and Oz had to say about Monterrey and sort of how their season has been going. I was taking a look at the numbers, but I hadn't seen too much of their gameplay. So to hear them break it down and sort of reveal how they're sort of, it's sort of a similar story. I noticed, or I felt like at least, they're starting to play maybe how we played a little bit last year. The way they described it sort of reminded me a little bit about how we used to dominate the play and sort of take it to teams all the time last year. So I'm excited for them, you know, to see how they're going to go. I was excited to learn about a resurging team. That's always fun.
Awesome. And what about you, Elder? What did you learn this episode?
Learned that Andrew's a Real Madrid fan. I don't know how I feel about it.
Unfortunately, man, that was the first love.
Awesome. Looking well, I want to thank both of you, Andrew, Matt, for taking some time and joining us for this episode. If you hadn't done so, it would have been just me talking for 45 minutes. And I don't think anyone would have wanted to hear 45 minutes of my thought. Well, we would have still had the Superfan Dan and Oz, but still, it would have been me talking for most of that time. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear from the other people that really know what they're talking about. But thank you for doing that. Also want to thank Superfan Dan and Oz from, I can't even say it right, so I'm just going to say it my way, for as a union. I cannot say it the way Oz says
it. There you go.
There we go. I'll take that. Thank you for the help there, Mr. Elder. Want to thank them for joining us on this episode. Also want to thank all the people that watched live and contributed in the chats. Thank you for doing so. For those of you that watch and listen elsewhere, no problem with that. Make sure you give us a follow on the social medias. Give us a like on any of the episodes you listen to. Check us out at ocsepodcast.com to read any future articles or any past articles that Andrew has contributed for us. You can also go to that website. Just in case y'all didn't know, you can go to ocsepodcast.com, click on the link that says CLC or Counterline Coalition. I can't remember what it says, but click that link. You can go on. You can get the lyrics to all of the chants that the CLC does out there in the stands. And some of them even have recordings of the chants. So if you want to learn them before you come out, you can do so. You can open up that app on your or that website on your phone and see the lyrics and chant along as well with that. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are out.